there's so much media. We typically talk about the big parts like Meta and Google, and they do perform and they are there for a reason. But if you're a smaller player and you have specific audience, maybe there's something else that you can look into, maybe specific targeting. Perhaps there's a different platform like Snapchat or Reddit to look into. Like, is there any tactic or strategy that you can plug and play a bit more?
You're listening to the Keep Optimizing Podcast to increase your traffic, improve your conversion rates, and grow your profits.
Hello and welcome. I'm Chloe Thomas, the host of this e-commerce marketing focused podcast. If you're not familiar with our format, well, every 5 episodes, we switch our focus to a different marketing method. It could be email or SEO or Facebook ads, and we pick up the thread from the last time we covered it. And in each episode, we release a new one every single Wednesday. I interview a different expert to explore the latest advice on making it work for you. At the moment, we're picking up our thread of things you need to know before peak. And in this episode, we're exploring somewhere else you might want to put your advertising budget. We've got the brilliant Carolina joining us to talk about media buying. So, we're talking about TV ads, billboards, signage around city centres, all that kind of stuff. And we'll be looking at how it's been digitalised, which affects lots of different factors, like how you measure the results, how you actually book the content in the first place. It's an awful lot easier to do that now for anybody. We'll talk about budgets. We'll talk about the type of strategies you might want to deploy, the type of creative you might want to go into. As you're about to hear, Carolina is a super knowledgeable marketer. She really knows her stuff and she's full of great advice. So I know you're going to like this one. As always, make sure you listen to the end because you do not want to miss her quick fire insider tips. And I'll share an update as well. So stay tuned to the end, all of you. Are you ready to try TikTok ads? Success on TikTok comes from embracing all the opportunities the platform's ecosystem provides. Organic brand posts, live streaming, affiliates and creators, TikTok shop, and of course, the advertising platform. So, are you ready to try TikTok ads? Now is the perfect time to get your TikTok ads up and running. Available in more than 150 markets in 75 languages, no video app is on more mobile devices worldwide. And get this, of TikTok's millions of users, 1 in 4 can't be found on any other platform. Don't start with TikTok ads without checking the latest new advertiser deal. Find it at keepopt.com/TikTok ads. That's keepopt.com/TikTok ads. TikTokads. All one word. I'd love to hear how you get on. In this episode, I'm chatting with advertising expert Carolina Lapinaiti. Carolina is head of media at global marketing agency Precise. Working with big global brands from many sectors, she's all about putting together the on and offline media campaigns that drive big results. Hello, Carolina.
Hi, Chloe. Thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be on this podcast right now.
Me too. I love a bit of alternative advertising channels. Not that they're that alternative, but the ones that, you know, take us beyond Facebook and TikTok, let's put it that way. But before we get into all of that, though, how did you get into this very cool world of media and e-commerce?
Yeah, it's a very cool industry, for sure. So I agree on that one. And I've been with Precise for over 6 years. So we work with a lot of e-commerce brands and like big scale and small, medium and small size clients as well. And before that, I was also working with other agencies, a lot of like e-commerce brands as well. So lots of like a big part of my career has been in this industry, to be honest. And it's just a very exciting journey to go on together with the clients to kind of grow their brands and understand how their performance is doing and how can we work together. That's my background.
It is quite mad how much, I guess you could say, traditional and offline marketing and advertising channels have evolved in the last 5, 6, 7 years, and what's now possible compared to what was possible. What have been the key changes, do you think, if you can sum that up?
Yeah, it would be a very long podcast, which I go deep into that one. But I think what we obviously see as a pattern is that a lot of what we call traditional channels are digitalizing. And it's not necessarily digital of, you know, going into digital screens, but the way we buy, for example. So typically what we would see, you know, 10 years ago, like we have an email conversation of a salesperson and we agree on a deal and we buy and kind of move forward. But right now, a lot of things are so much more efficient. And the law of inventory is also so accessible, especially if we're looking, you know, into UK market or US and across Europe and so on. So I think that makes it so much easier to buy media and so much more efficient. So accessibility to even smaller brands became very easy, very accessible, as I mentioned, and there's a lot of testing opportunities for these kind of brands as well.
It's kind of fascinating, isn't it, how the obvious digitization you think about is measurement, audience targeting and all the rest of it. But actually, one of the areas that's made the biggest difference in the industry is the movement away from the real life salesperson to the buying platform. Because it makes, for you who's placing massive orders, it makes your life a lot more straightforward. But it also means for the sellers of this inventory that they've now got a scenario where they can afford to service someone with a much lower budget. You know, they're not like one salesperson can handle X number of deals. Therefore, the deals need to be 100 grand and above each, or 10 grand and above each, or whatever, you know, their level is. Suddenly, because they can digitize this, the buying platform, they can open it up to much, much smaller companies.
Yeah, and I think this is basically a win-win situation. So I remember my first job was actually when RTB, real-time bidding, buying, just came into the picture. So that was really exciting. But right now, it is a standard. This is a norm. And again, it's basically a win for our supply side as well as the demand side. So in terms of saving time, in terms of also targeting and efficiency. So what we've seen working really well is, for example, if we're talking about out of home specifically, that would be very naive to say like, oh, you know, there is no print out of home left out there. It's only digital. It's not true. There's always a balance there and it's always, you know, depends on the goal and et cetera. But what we've seen of out of home, we became much more proficient in terms of how we can target different audiences and how can we target maybe different locations and different bits and pieces there. So like if I can bring some examples there, that we have our bigger and smaller clients as well in the Nordics, as well as like markets like UK and Germany. For example, a big brand like Fjällräven, we did a big campaign where we really targeted specific locations. So it wasn't necessarily, you know, go big or go home. It was a very targeted approach for a medium that is typically considered as simply broad reach. There is a truth to that, but we can also be a bit more selective at the same time. At the same time, another example, we have a big like provider in Norway where we did a very similar approach of driving foot traffic to the stores. There are a lot of nuances there and a lot of tactics that can be come into the picture. That all depends on the strategy. And basically, what I always repeat, there's no best practice strategy. It's just knowing what you want to achieve and then tapping into different medias to get into that picture, basically.
Because it's so easy to go, oh yeah, let's just do some TV ads or let's do some billboards or let's do some something. But actually, that is not the decision. The decision is this is what our strategy is. What's the best way to achieve our strategy? And actually that might be doing some TV in this way or doing some billboards in this way. So as with all marketing, you have to start with your strategy, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, TV and billboards, like broad reach, that could definitely be an amazing strategy. And it really depends also on the brand. So for our big brands, that kind of want to be the household name, it might be like the best way to go for it. But for others, especially when if we look at the content calendar throughout the year and what they want to communicate, different approaches might be better. So basically to save the money and to be more targeted? And how do we kind of talk to the right relevant people at the right time? And then, of course, very often when I talk about it, typically we think like, oh, you're talking about, you know, maybe some display ads or just some video ads that we target. With digitalization of these more traditional channels, I don't really like calling them traditional channels, but let's keep with that. We can really leverage them in a very, very new perspectives and different ways that also combine and sort of uplift the other strategies or tactics that we have in place. So it all needs to work as one piece. So as long as we have a strategy, then we figure out the tactics, so to say.
Exactly. So it's kind of traditional offline media, whatever we're going to call them. And I agree. None of the terms are quite right, are they? But it's exactly the same approach as you should be taking if you're buying digital advertising or any other marketing, which is you have your strategy first and then you work out where it's best deployed.
Yeah, and the strategy, it's a very big word, right? So I think it's also defining like how do we understand that? And the way we typically think about it is like, where is your audience? What is your audience? Who do you want to reach first and foremost, right? Then what kind of data can we use? Is there anything that we can use from like first party data? Is there anything that we can use from different providers and so on? So we can already start building these layers and blocks together. And then sort of a third big layer is like, okay, how can we activate that together to achieve the goal that we set in the beginning? It's a bit of a tiered approach to the strategy too.
I suppose that's where it becomes slightly more challenging than simply putting some ads on Insta or Facebook or TikTok, is that we can't gather all the data in one place, which actually is no longer true on those platforms either. But we need to do a bit of a bigger data gather activity to make sure we're going to be playing in the right way.
Yeah, exactly. And then I think I read the stat not that long ago that was still surprising to me that only 36% of campaigns have a strategy behind it. And the strategy might be just Instagram or let's say TikTok, if that works. But at the same time, it's back to the goals, like what are we trying to do? I think one of the sort of concerns that clients bring up is we're thinking that maybe out of home or TV is very expensive compared to, let's say, social. And don't get me wrong, social place is a really, really important part in the consumer journey. And it is a big, I would say, search and shopping unit in the whole ecosystem. But out of home and TV is not that expensive anymore. So even smaller players, especially with out of home, can be really visible without that much effort and about that big budget. Because I think we have that legacy where, okay, if you are a huge brand, then you can do TV and out of home. If you're a small brand, let's stick to a couple of social channels and try to get the most out of it. The way we think about it is more of like, let's see where you are. Let's see what budgets can we reach and what kind of audience can we reach. And then mix and match a bit, basically. Test first and decide later.
I mean, it is, well, like anyone only has to watch actual terrestrial telly in whichever country you're in, especially during the afternoon on a weekday, to see endless ad breaks that are only showing ads for the other content on that TV channel to realize how cheap TV advertising must now be compared to it where it used to be. There is a lot of inventory going spare, isn't there, in that channel at the moment?
Yeah, there's a lot of inventory. Of course, if we're talking especially, you know, about Q4 and peak season, that's when inventory starts to get sold out. This is like the most price sensitive, where prices are inflated. So they're completely different tactics maybe that we could go into for that specific period. But I also love the part that you mentioned, you know, if you watch telly and there's so much advertising, this is where I say this is great. Canvas is a great medium. What are we actually doing with creative? Are we entertaining? Are we engaging people? Do they pay attention to the ad and so on? So media is one part, but it never works in silo. it has to work with the data that we have available or the providers have available. And then also the creative piece, because none of that might on its own like deliver the result. It's a kind of a puzzle piece in the whole picture.
And you, of course, have to get the creative right for each of those channels as well. You know, taking your best performing Facebook ad, video Facebook ad, and turning it into a TV ad is not going to work as well as if you take the principles of that well-performing Facebook ad and then repurpose it for that audience and for that medium.
Yeah. And it's down the line, just thinking like, where are we advertising? Like the way I think about it is if we're talking about TV, in what state is the person in when he or she or they are watching TV first and foremost. So it's a very different environment if I'm just scrolling TikTok. It's, you know, then I'm more like discovery entertainment, while TV is more passive media engagement. So there's always audience first, environment second. How does that come together? And then we decide, you know, the creative elements and how does that work with media and so on. So it's a bit of a matrix, but it's a fun one.
And I would be remiss, given the timing of this episode and the topic we're covering on the show at the moment, if I didn't come back and pick you up on your mention about, you know, as demand increases, as it does in Q4 and peak for advertising space, the prices go up. But you said there are ways of dealing with that. So do you structure campaigns differently at expensive times of year than you would in less expensive times of year?
I think in that case, I would kind of go back a bit to the business type. So if it's a very big brand and they know that peak season is already something that they need to leverage. So first of all, I would look, is there data from not only last year, but years before? So we have a baseline there. And then if that's the case, then just simply look at booking medias directly. And then back to the point, it doesn't matter if it's a digital booking, you know, out of home print booking or anything like that. Just make sure you plan accordingly. But for smaller brands as well, it can get even more difficult because you're competing with the bigger ones, the bigger fish in the pond. But in that case, I think it's very, very interesting to try and see, explore a bit more like untapped platforms because there's so much media. We typically talk about the big, you know, the big parts like Meta and Google, and they do perform and they are there for a reason. But if you're a smaller player and you have specific audience, maybe there's something else that you can look at. Maybe specific targeting. Perhaps there's a different platform like Snapchat or Reddit to look into. Like, is there any tactic or strategy that you can plug and play a bit more? So for those, it would be more of like go a bit rogue. Versus kind of going the very test and proven way that bigger brands go for.
So tempted to dive off into going rogue with you, but I'm going to keep us talking about these big media channels we could be taking advantage of. You said about, you know, going and booking direct. Is it possible for a brand just to go and create an account at another TV place, another billboard provider, out of home magazines, etc., and just be buying stuff as easy as it is to get set up and buying on Google Ads or Facebook Ads?
100%. I think one of our partners is VStar, for example, and also DV360 that is part of Google. It's very, very easy to simply go to them and say, hey, I want to reach this audience in these cities or something like that, and simply buy it as you buy Google Ads. So it became so much easier to do it than before. So it's basically the very similar platform, very similar ways of working, and it doesn't take a lot of time to actually secure that. And also I want to add, it also doesn't necessarily take lots of budget to try something like it. The only part is also collaborating with someone, and those people are also very active, proactive on helping out, just to make sure the budget is going to the right place. That's the only part.
I'm going to come back to budgets in a second, but first off, you said about how easy it is to set up. we all should know that that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to set it up well. So, you know, we've all seen and experienced badly set up Google ad accounts or badly set up Facebook ad accounts where money's being wasted. So I guess we need to be clear on our strategy before we go and just start placing bids and uploading creative, don't we? Just to reiterate that strategy point.
Yeah, and maybe it's easiest if I give an example of out of home. It works very similarly with TV. It's just TV more about TV show targeting versus out of home is more about placement targeting, wherever that is. So if I take London as an example, where do I want to appear? Do I have a certain store, let's say, in a certain area? Maybe I just want advertising around that area to bring foot traffic. That's one tactic. Or I want to have it more broadly so people just are aware of my brand name to begin with. So that kind of depends on the tactic and strategy put beforehand. And from there on, I think it might be even easier than Google Ads, to be fair, because simply then you pick and choose certain placements. You know what kind of creatives you need to deliver. And that's pretty much it. At the same time, you're also flexible to, you know, choose different timings. Maybe you just want to appear in the mornings or in the evenings. Again, it depends on what your brand is. There's a lot of flexibility there, but the setup is really straightforward. So whoever handle Google Ads, if they go to one of these platforms, they're very likely to just go in and understand how to do it.
And with that setup, he just sparked another question idea from me, which is, do we go in and we book our time and our space and we can upload the creative later? Or do we do it all in one go?
Yeah, so I think the creative part is a very good point that you bring that up. Because typically when we, for example, would book directly, we would need to send the creative, you know, 15 days beforehand because other people need to handle it and so on and so on. If we go the digital route, we can, depending on the setup, if it's handled, you know, in an agency or in-house, and if there is any internal SLAs, of course, I need to be mindful of that. But very too much, you can get the creative a night before, upload it, and go live. So either way, either you kind of, if you have it uploaded immediately, that saves you, you know, the hassle of it. But if you want to set up the campaign, but the creative team is still working, you're not under the pressure of like, oh, we can't use this medium because we don't have it created yet. We can really just upload it like a couple of days before, as long as the creative steps are in place, of course.
Because, of course, there is limited availability. So the sooner you book, the sooner you guarantee your space, don't you?
Yeah. But for booking, one part is like one thing is you can book the space, right? So you can guarantee that you will appear there. You can book it separately without having the creative to begin with. Second part, you can just go, as I called it before, sort of like open auction. And you don't need to book anything. You sort of just have the budget, you have the creative, and you have the screens. And if the availability is there, you will sort of start there. At the same time, if you're also not limited to a certain time, like 2 days or 3 days that we need to communicate this, you can just extend the period and have more reach over time. So there's a bit of a different tactics there. It's not necessary to pre-book the inventory, which has been typically with, let's say, print advertising, where we need to say 3 months in advance that we need this week beforehand. With this, it's much more flexible, basically.
Got you. And we said we'd come back to budget. So what sort of budget are we talking about needing to run a valid test, not just have a go, you know? Because yeah. Like, I'm sure you can have a go for a very small amount of money, but to actually make something where you're going to learn something, you're going to see some impact, are we talking thousands, tens of thousands? And I mean, purely for the advertising, not for the creative side of it.
Yeah, of course. I think that's a very tricky question because, of course, it depends on the market and how big the market is. So the way I would look at it is what is my target audience and how big is it in X location? If it's, let's say, 5 million people, what do I need to reach them? That's the very typical marketing formula that we use for any other platform or any other format. something like for a brainless study, just to have a significant amount, if I'm taking, let's say, a market of 15 million people, then we can look into something like 40,000 pounds or something like that. It doesn't necessarily have to be that way. If we want to dominate, let's say, a very small area, it can be much lower budget. So I have seen like campaigns that we ran, they really vary from 20K or 10K even to hundreds of thousands. So there's a lot of flexibility, I would say. The only part that I really like to encourage is to try and see what you can get out of the budget you have and not to be afraid to test these more traditional medias.
Got you. So if we've got 10 grand and our goal is to target the whole of Europe for 3 months, we're in cloud cuckoo land. But if
cuckoo land.
Yeah. But if we've got 10 grand and we want to zero it in around a physical store, or we know that we've got a lot of great customers in one particular town or one particular suburb.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And what's the trackability, the measurability of all of this? Because that's been one of the reasons why I know a lot of e-commerce brands haven't gone anywhere near it in the past, is because you're relying on, I don't know, brand recognition surveys or on the street or something to work out if it's having an impact. So how do you measure?
It's sort of a multi-layered approach, I would say, still. One part is still looking into brandless studies or surveys, as you mentioned. It hasn't gone anywhere because typically these kind of approaches we still apply them mostly for brand awareness or brand consideration. So if we are trying to track direct sales from out of home ad, that's also not, perhaps, let's call it like not the best scenario to do so. At the same time, like the brandless studies, they also became much more accurate and much better. And that's much more easier to access for this type of media. So that's one part. Other part, I would say, is attribution. And this is something that we're working a lot at Precise of our technology as well, of how can we take data from different channels and make sure we use the logic of MMM modeling to understand what impact different channels had. It is a journey. It's not, you know, super simple to from the get-go. That's why we built our tech Alvi that helps to kind of integrate these different bits and pieces together and at least see, not necessarily, I wouldn't want to call it like exact results, but the trend lines. Can we see some trend there? Can we see uplift, downlift, shifts here and there, so we can base our decisions based on that one? So I would really, really look into sort of survey-based methodology where we understand what people's perception is, and then data-based, can we kind of feed in the data into the model and what learnings can we have? If we sort of have results from both, we can make our approximate decisions. Because if you're looking for a measurement model that, and like, this is the answer, I don't think that's really possible right now. And if somebody says it is, yeah, I'd like to hear about it.
Yeah, I suppose we have to remember that this is a fundamentally above the line advertising. There is a huge amount of brand awareness in it. We're not sending an email to our existing customer list. But also, I think your point about precision attribution is absolutely spot on. Because to be honest, if I had found someone who said they could perfectly pull all that data together and give you a cast iron, this definitely raised this, I'd be like, but how? There are so many variables. I don't think we even want to try and get to that point.
I mean, if we had that, everybody would be using that already, right? There are a lot of models and there's like great advancements, I think, in the last few years. It's amazing to see where we're going. And I think we are getting more and more informed, but it's not, you know, a perfect answer. It's more like, where should we direct our attention more towards to? And with that, I also wanted to bring up the topic of attention, which has been floating in the industry for quite some time. There are a lot of different opinions around it, but we do live in an attention economy. So if we are talking about brands specifically, one part is, of course, brand lifts and brand tracking and how is that developing over time. But attention measurement can also help us understand where are we sort of getting more eyeballs versus other areas. So kind of optimize those channels based on that and find the maybe sort of ultimate lever point of where should we invest more, maybe at home, maybe somewhere social, somewhere display, and things like that. So it's another, I think, really great metric to think about over time.
Awesome. I love all of that, Carolina. I could carry on talking about this to you for hours, but instead we're going to head towards the insider tips round. So Carolina, thank you for being an awesome guest thus far. And listeners, remember to stay tuned right to the end so you don't miss out on Carolina's insider tips on all of this and my suggestions for other ways we can help you improve things even further in your businesses. Are you ready to try TikTok ads? Success on TikTok comes from embracing all the opportunities the platform's ecosystem provides. Organic brand posts, live streaming, affiliates and creators, TikTok shop, and of course, the advertising platform. So, are you ready to try TikTok ads? Now is the perfect time to get your TikTok ads up and running. Available in more than 150 markets in 75 languages, no video app is on more mobile devices worldwide. And get this, of TikTok's millions of users, 1 in 4 can't be found on any other platform. Don't start with TikTok ads without checking the latest new advertiser deal. Find it at keepopt.com/TikTok ads. That's keepopt.com/TikTok ads. TikTokads, all one word. I'd love to hear how you get on. Okay, Carolina, so far we've gone deep into the digitalization of formerly offline / traditional / whatever other words we came up with during our chat channels. Now you get to wow us with your insider knowledge about the whole of e-commerce and media. So for the following questions, your answer can be anything to do with that, which of course does include everything we've already been talking about. Carolina, are you ready for the insider tips?
Yeah, excited about it.
Okay, let's start with newbie advice. If you've inspired someone to take their first step, what do they need to know to give themselves the best chance of success?
I would say it's 3 pillars. First of all, know your audience. We can be very tempted to say, like, everybody who wants to buy my product. Niche down. If we can create a little loop, as I tend to call it, first of all, know your audience. Then know what data do you have? Can you use it? What foundations do you have? What can you tap into? And then from there, simple hygiene, like choose a couple of channels, really nail down the tracking, nail down, you know, optimizations and things like that. And then you can expand. And the part with that one that I really want to highlight, typically what we see when I say is like, all right, last step, we'll go with the biggest ones, right? Because they do perform. At the same time, I would really, really challenge people to think, given it's so easy to access new types of media, as we talked before, maybe that's something that you can tap into that your competition is not doing. So keep that in mind, basically.
Love it. Three-step, three-pillar structure to get us going. Okay, once you've started, of course, you've got to keep optimizing. So what's your favorite way to improve performance?
This one will not be surprising to many, but I'll still say it. It's testing. And I think we very often say testing experimentation, but we don't give the really value, the real value to it, because there is not just A/B testing, like let's try orange versus blue and move on with blue. There's a lot to that one. So from creative testing, understanding what resonates with the audience, right? Because we identified the audience in the previous step. Then also looking into emerging platforms as well, like what our competitors are not doing, where is our audience, how can we tap into that one, really not being afraid to test something new, because typically it doesn't require that big of a budget, just for a little nook there. And finally, again, when we talk about experimentation, there typically like audience testing, creative testing, and so on. I would also like to encourage to think about, for example, geo-experimentation. If you're activating in one market or one town, but not in another, maybe you can compare these. How did your marketing affected the results in this area versus another? So being really, really creative about it and not being afraid to go a bit outside of the borders, the typical borders, so to say.
Love that. Proper lineup there for optimizing your activity. Thank you, Carolina. Now, if someone listening wants to learn more, is there a cheap or free resource you would recommend?
I think out of all of the questions that he had, this is the most difficult one because there's so much great information. And also we have AI at our fingertips. So it really depends what we're after. But if we're looking at, if we're like based on what we talked about, different media formats and all of these things, one thing that we also try to do at Precise is curate content. So I really love to encourage everybody and anybody listening to this podcast, because I assume people are pro podcasts already, to tune into our Connecting the Dots podcast that you can find on precise.com resources. So precise.com. And then you just navigate to resources and you'll find different bits and pieces there. So I really welcome everybody to kind of take a look there. And if it would be up to me to, for example, recommend a couple of books and a couple of reading resources, one part, given that we spoke about a little bit about attention, I would really like to sort of recommend Dr. Karen Nelson Field's book, Attention Economy, just for understanding like how attention works and just challenging our own mindsets. I think it's a really good piece. And one that is probably not a very typical one in the marketing world, but I'll still say it because I think we are missing that creative thinking sometimes. It's Rod Judkin's The Art of Creative Thinking. It's like typically what I see is that when the word creative comes up, it's like, oh, that's a creative department. But it's not necessarily it. We kind of need to work as one bulk moving forward. And there's a lot of creativity that we can do with data. And there's a lot of creativity we can do with media and all of our different aspects. So these are my favorites.
Nice. Loving those recommendations. Two great books there. And then the Connecting the Dots podcast from Precise, which is precise.com. Head to the resources section. You'll find that. We love a podcast recommendation. Okay. Finally, crystal ball time. What's coming up in the next 6 to 12 months that we should be getting ready for?
Yeah. I'm actually not sure if there's anything super new. I think we already see the patterns, the development across industry. So one part that is not a surprise for anybody, I think it's AI and the way, I would specifically clarify, like the way people engage with AI and search for things. So it's a search behavior. So this is one part where the real look, try to look into like how the brand appears and the SEO part and all that navigational bits and pieces. The other piece is what we basically talked the whole time today, is the digitalization of media. Again, it's not that everything is being digital right now, but it is like, it's so much easier to access that inventory. And it's not only about access, but how creative we can get actually. How can we engage people? Because mobile is basically our extension, our arm, our hand. And digital media can help us sort of even if our home to bring that element into the whole mix. And the final piece, I think more and more companies will start questioning their measurement, what we spoke about before as well, where again, there's no silver bullet, but if we are to find really good mix and match, I think that's what can help inform decisions moving forward. So from long-term to mid-term and then optimization, hygiene bits and pieces. So if we have that formula in there, I think that's a conversation that will be happening, will continue happening basically for another year and ongoingly, really. So it's more about not specifically trends necessarily, but the patterns that we see developing.
Oh, I love those insights. Thank you so much, Carolina. We are very nearly at the end of the show. So could you please let the listeners know where they can find you and your business?
Yeah, thanks so much for this one. And we'd be really happy to engage with anyone, everybody who will listen to this podcast. So just go to precise.com, precise.com. And then you will have our contact form if you want to chat with us. And also you have resources all the different cases and so on that I also spoke about today. So this is the kind of go-to element that I want to really invite everybody to visit.
Brilliant. Thank you, Carolina, so much for coming on the show. It's been a real treat getting to chat about all this with you. And I know I've learned a lot, so I'm sure the audience will too.
Thank you so much for inviting. It's a pleasure.
So there's a huge opportunity for some of your advertising budget. It's never been easier to get into out of home, into TV, and all those other channels that you would think were out of reach. But remember, it's strategy first, the creative is super important, and you're going to be looking at more uplift measurement than directly attributed clicks. Although, let's not get into debates about attribution for Google Ads or Facebook Ads right now. You can get the links to all those things we discussed, the full transcript of the episode, important notes and more at keepoptimizing.com. You can also use our special direct episode short links. Just put keepopt.com/ the number of this episode into the URL bar and you'll be redirected straight to the right episode page. Now, when you get to the website, you can also add yourself to our email list. Then you won't miss out on any of the other things we share to help you improve your business. Now, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Keep Optimizing podcast. If you've enjoyed it, well, why not check out episode 215, where we're getting deep into TV ads, how to buy them, and how to create them. So I think it definitely builds on what we've been discussing here. That's episode 215. You can also find our full thread of 2025 Things You Need to Know Before Peak episodes, either by scrolling up your feed or using the short link keepopt.com/peak. Please do tell your fellow marketers about the show, because I want to help as many of you as possible to improve the performance of your e-commerce marketing. Have a great week and make sure you listen to the next episode so I can help you to keep optimizing your marketing.
Access everything Keep Optimizing at keepoptimizing.com. That's with an S, not a Z.
Check out the latest TikTok ads, new advertiser deals. Find them at keepopt.com/TikTok ads. That's keepopt.com/TikTok ads.